Thinking about self-publishing and don't know where to start? Join the Spa Girls each week for a fun-filled podcast full of honest advice, tips, and resources. I'm Trudy J.
I'm Shah Barrett.
I'm Cheryl Phipps.
And I'm Wendy Valla.
And welcome to another episode. For those of you who are on YouTube, you might have been able to see me glancing down to try and remember what on earth I was supposed to say. But for everyone,
just a few words changed. And look,
I know, but I've been saying the same thing for the last 6 years, and it's ingrained. Yeah. I've got a neural pathway.
Yeah. Yes. It's there. Yes. Gee, whiskers.
I think you might find it's longer than that, but I'm too scared to start adding up years. Amazing thing is that none of us have aged a day in the whole process. I mean, so that's pretty
young.
Cool.
It's young and fresh.
Can't we?
No, it's so young and fresh.
I haven't been young and fresh since the 80s.
I just had a birthday. I'm not feeling young and young, but I am feeling refreshed.
Good. That's awesome. What are we going to talk about today, ladies?
We are talking about transitioning to full-time authors, what happens, the process of it, what you need to think about, and what we learned when we did that same thing. So,
and just for the record, three of us are full-time writers and I'm the one that's not. So I'm going to ask the deep and probing questions, as they say.
Okay. But you also have experience.
When she says stuff like that, though, eh? When she's going to come at us with questions, it always makes me just a little bit nervous. Too.
Like, literally, I have nothing prepared, so, you know, things could get a bit wild.
But I'd just like to point out one thing quickly before we start, is that, Shah, you are actually an experienced entrepreneurial type.
Yes.
You know, earning your living, not from going into a 9-to-5 job, but from working
in the writer industry.
Absolutely. There are times when I wish that somebody else was paying my wages, I've got to be honest, and that I could have, you know, apply for a holiday leave and all that kind of thing. But that's also something that I guess that's actually important first point, is basically stepping into the writing life full time is becoming an entrepreneur of sorts, isn't it? So how did you guys go about, like, what was the decision making behind your decision, shall we say? What were the thinking processes? Wendy.
I wish we were all just looking at her, eyes open.
Where's she going to
go? Where's she going to go with it? For me, I like to have all my bases covered before I leap. So for me, I was still working full time, but I transitioned down to part time hours and increased my writing volume. And then I published. And when I was earning a steady income through publishing, at the time, we're talking quite a few years ago now, so the landscape was completely different. But for me, I had a home office set up and I was ready to sort of just roll straight into it. Before that, I think it was a mental mind shift for me, massive mental mind shift. And that was basically, you can do this, you've had the proof, you know you can write. And then in the end, it was probably my husband who just said, come on, it's time. And then I sort of stepped into it. It was terrifying. I was terrified, you know.
How many books approximately would you have had published at that time?
Two.
Okay.
Yeah, probably two. But I
when you went full-time.
Full-time.
I don't feel like that's.
No, when I went, what are we talking, part-time or
part-time? From the beginning. Yeah.
Oh, full-time. I probably had three or four, I would say, probably more likely. I actually can't remember. But
I feel like you had more than three or four.
Yeah. No,
you probably waited till you had like 10 or something.
No, I don't think there was that many.
Because you write quite fast, so I'm sure you're putting out more than two books a year.
Yes, but the difference was I had my traditional publishing and then I had my first self-publish and that book just rocketed. I was selling 200 copies of that book a day. And so I was earning enough money then to sustain, you know, what I was earning at work. So that was when I thought about making that leap. I think I really only had two or three books up.
Okay.
And then, so that was my decision, was that I had, you know, done the maths, I had worked out what I needed and I was ready to go. But even so, I was terrified. Terrified. It was a huge leap for me. It's self-belief. I didn't have the self-belief.
We'll come back to mindset in a second. What about you, Cheryl?
It's a similar story, really. It took me, I'd say, probably another couple of years after Wendy, because mine was a much slower right into it with I did drop my hours to part-time, and that worked to a certain extent, but I really began to resent any time that I wasn't writing. Mm. And so I wasn't happy, and I fully admit here that I went full-time actually before I could afford to. If I had been like the sole breadwinner, mm-hmm. I couldn't have done it. But I did do it because I was incredibly unhappy, and I knew straight away that it was the right thing to do. Mm. But we'll go into how that panned out later. But that's pretty much me. I think I would have had maybe 8 books out, maybe mm-hmm. 10. Mm. Mm.
Trudy?
Yeah, and I don't have the same story as these two.
No.
This is the beauty of four of us. We've all got different approaches.
My husband and I, when we had Zoe, my daughter, we were both working part-time. We kind of had this situation where we decided we didn't want one of us working full-time and one, you know, looking after the baby. We both wanted to participate, so we were both working part-time. So I was working part-time, maybe like 25, 30 hours, I can't even remember now. And then I think I had Wendy was full-time by then. I can't remember if Cheryl was. I think we were similar time.
Maybe before Cheryl.
Oh, was I? Okay. Mm-hmm. And I had a friend of mine died. He got cancer and he got sick and then he died. And he was in his 30s and he was a young guy. And I was just like, oh my God, things like that can happen to people my age. Like, that's just crazy. And I just, it's like a switch flipped to me. I mean, I didn't dislike my job. I actually quite enjoyed the job, but I was like, this isn't actually what I want to do. And I looked around and I was like, well, how am I going to make this happen? And I wasn't making enough money to go full time or anything, but I was just like, screw this. Life is for living. Mm-hmm. I need to do what I want to do. And so I actually borrowed a bit of money off my family and said, I need this money for a year, to help me along. And so I did that and then just kept going and never stopped and never looked back. But it was just kind of one of those things where it was like, I can't sit around and not do this because this is mm-hmm. where I want to be and what I want to do. So it was, that was
That's
it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it is. That's right. Very and cool. I mean, sometimes those harsh life lessons are the catalyst that does prompt us into it. So in terms of financial, not getting into like personal numbers here, but how did you go about dealing with the financial, like the business sort of side of things, like the setup? How have you approached that?
Me again?
Yeah.
Okay. Business setup. Well, it was a learn as you go.
Mm.
I actually didn't know that many self-published authors at that stage. I think there were more traditional published authors in my sphere than there was self-published authors. So I remember when I started earning some good money, and my husband said to me, we need to, we can't just ignore this. You know, we have to actually do something with this, sort it out. So I got an accountant, sorted that out. Is that what the question you were asking?
Sort of like that.
So financially, and then I realized that I had a business. So I had to treat it like a business, and I had to say, well, I'm earning this much money. What am I going to reinvest back in my business to make myself grow? And that's always been a thing for me, putting a percentage back in and doing something outside the box that will help me grow. So I'm not a huge course taker, but I would take the occasional course or get, whatever I needed. I think Vellum or whatever that one, the other one was, we got Juto, which was a formatting software and things like that. So for me, every month I tried to either reinvest back in or and budgeting was another thing. And I am hopeless with money, like seriously useless. So for me, it was a real learning curve. I was CEO of my business and running a publishing house, and and that's a real mind shift too, because you're going from being sort of like doing something you love and then you're going to do something you love, but it's making you living and it's your life. So there's a real mental shift with that. So I had to learn quite a lot of stuff because I had not trained, and I don't think anything trains you for this.
Absolutely. Cheryl, you came from a financial like background, so you definitely like we've all always looked to you for the wise head in this respect.
Well, to be honest, for me to give up work, earning the kind of money that I was earning, and especially in the latter years, I mean, I was earning quite big money. And so to do that took some kahunas, really. And I can say that now. At the time, it was incredibly scary. And I did feel guilty. And I'm sure a lot of people in our situations do that. You know, if you're going to give up something that you know earns you this amount of money to go into a job which you're never going to know exactly. You're going to have a rough idea, but you're never, ever going to know exactly. And everything is so fluid from month to month and year to year, depending on what's happening in the world and everything else. So it was a huge jump, and in hindsight, wasn't the best financially, but it was the best for me, and therefore, you know, my husband, my family, because I was much happier. And again, I had to start treating it as a business and look at what I was going to put back into it. And I would say that for the first few years, just about everything I made went back into the business, because I was trying new things, and I was trying a lot of things, and one could argue too many things. But also I was looking to people like Wendy and watching what she was doing and trying to emulate that. And sometimes you can, and sometimes you just can't. So again, more learning curves, and us as a group, you know, pushing each other forward, that also helps and gets you to a stage where you're comfortable making maybe less decisions or trying less things, but doing so in a more balanced way, a more mindful way. So that's pretty much.
Yeah. And Trudels, okay. What would be your advice around the financial side of things and the kind of the business, if you like, of doing the business?
I think it's a mindset shift. It's going from something that you were, when you've got another job and you're doing this in the edges and the side, you know, in the evenings or in the mornings or whatever, it's a change of it, thinking of it almost as a hobby or something that you do as well, you know, instead of your main income, to being your main income. And that's quite a big shift, and to know that that's a big shift. Like, it's not just it sounds exciting and amazing and all these great things to say, I'm going to quit my job and move into this full time. But there's actually quite a lot of mindset stuff that you have to work with too, that's going to actually affect you. For me, in terms of the business, I'd actually worked as a freelance journalist for a few years. So I had, for example, already a limited liability company set up. I knew how to invoice. I knew about you know, taxes and things like that from doing it that way for me, for that. So I just sort of transitioned to that company, same company being used for my books and author income. So that aspect of it wasn't as big a transition for me, because I'd already done it before in another kind of area. I'd already had experience of that. But the big thing for me was that whole kind of what was once just something I was doing for love and maybe not much money, now is kind of like my main focus. And like everyone has already said, it is quite scary to kind of have that suddenly being your main focus, and you kind of, everything is sort of relying on that. It becomes a lot more pressure on you, and you have to kind of be okay about handling that and figuring that out. Yeah.
And I just also want to do not a disclaimer, but just a note here that we acknowledge for our North American listeners that and watchers that, you know, obviously health insurance in the States is a huge consideration for people, and we're very fortunate in that we don't necessarily have that same, although, you know, we do have private health insurance here in New Zealand as well that's available, but there is we don't have the exorbitant costs that our US friends have to cope with. So that kind of, I think, no matter where you're listening from, there is all those aspects that you've got to kind of take into consideration, isn't there, you know, sort of around there. And actually, if you've got, you know, I'm single, so I don't have a partner's income as a backup and that kind of thing, and that's a real one. There's also your stage of life too.
There's, you know, so many different variables.
Mortgage payments still keep coming, even if the KU payout's not particularly good that week. So so I'm interested, just picking up on what you were saying, Trudy, moving from a hobby, like a hobby of writing, to the business of writing. How did you guys, like, did it change how you enjoyed the actual writing process or how you approached the writing process. How did that work? We'll go in reverse, go Trudy first on this one.
Oh, okay. Oh, you completely missed me. I know, I'm just
throwing things up.
Now you know what it's like.
I think in some ways, like, I've gone through periods where I've felt like, oh, I have to write, because it is a business and you can't kind of go, oh, I don't feel like it today, because you have a schedule, you have deadlines, you have things that you're trying to meet. You know that if you don't have this launch at this particular time, it might not, you know, you kind of need that money to be coming in. So it changes your relationship with your writing, definitely. And I think you just need to always, we've talked about it before, but like, know your why, like kind of just keep yourself going based on, you know, there are easier ways to earn money. I think we've said this before, but it's like, if you want to write and you love this way of I don't know, communicating or putting yourself out there, then that should be something you should focus on and just keep reminding yourself that this is something you want to be doing and it'll keep you going. It just sort of, having it as a business just, I don't know, like I said before, it just adds another layer of something to it that you just have to take it a bit more seriously. I don't know. Like, it's, I'm not sure I actually answered the question. I'm not sure quite what the...
You did.
No, I think it is important to take it seriously and to think of it as a job and as a business, because I have to say, one of the big things with me is, I talk about it all the time, is that family is very important to me. The drawback with working from home is that your family knows that you're at home, and it doesn't quite have the same ramification, especially in the early years. It's much better now for me, but, you know, if my kids needed me and they wanted to ring me, I wouldn't not answer the phone. I couldn't not answer the phone. And I'm probably still like that today, but I'm also a bit more guarded with my time. I, you know, if I have a deadline and I need those hours, then, you know, I can't do what you need me to do at the drop of a hat. So that is the professional side of it, and it is a balance and it is a trade-off, but you have to be prepared for that when you're going in. If you're going to make it your business, then you have to look at it from all of those aspects of what time you're going to give to it, because I think we talked about it before we came on air, is the fact that we all thought that we're going to give up work to go and write, and we're going to write 8 hours a day. And actually, the reality is that you probably won't. You'll be lucky to get half that time. And you can do more when you really, really have to. But there are so many other things to this writing business that it's not actually like that. And not all of those things are fun. Not all those things you get to have a passion about.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think writing was always so much fun. That's all I did, you know, when I was working. I just used to sit down and write. So I had to, I think you had to switch on creativity, whereas before I just, I feel like writing. Mm. Now you have to switch it on and do your writing, because it's part of the job and you have deadlines and you must write. So I think switching on and off that creativity and then the work aspect of the business are two things as you go on that you really need to be able to juggle. And for me, I love writing, but a little bit like what Trudy was saying, sometimes I'll just go, oh, Lordy, I do not want to write today, you know, or I want to write what I want to write today. I don't want to write what the deadline tells me I have to write. So I think when you're a creative person, it's quite hard to just sit down. So that's a learned thing. That's something I've taught myself, the ability to just sit down and write anywhere and just get in. And I think that was, I didn't want to lose the love of writing, and I think that we've all lost it at some stages. I mean, you'd be lying if you hadn't. We've all gone through phases where we think, get out, I just don't want to do this today. I mean, I think for me, you know, did I lose the love? Yes, probably a little bit, but I found it again when I got things sort of worked out, and when things are flowing well, they're going well, and I understand yourself as a writer and your processes. So don't want to ramble, but, you know, I think understanding what works for you. I know that if I'm writing with you guys, I write really well. If I'm writing in the morning, I write really well. Sometimes I can write very late at night, but that sort of wedge in the middle really doesn't work for me, you know. So.
And I think it's also a fair comment that it doesn't matter what job you do in this life, sometimes you're not going to love it.
No.
Yeah.
You know?
But how lucky, you know, like, I mean, I think. Yeah.
Most of the time we do.
There aren't many people that have what we can do and can do it all the time, and that's our job. I mean, you know, I mean, you'll tell someone you're a writer and they go, what? What? What is that? Tell me about that. You know, if they're not telling you that they've got a book in you, they're actually like really interested, you know.
Exactly.
And you never have to retire.
No,
exactly. So how do you guys balance the actual creative side of the business to the publishing side? Because effectively you're a one-woman publishing empire each. So how do you balance those two? Like, on a practical level, do you mark out writing time every day? Like, how, and has that evolved as you've gone on over the years? Because you've all been doing this for a while now. So how has that evolved? When do you start?
Oh, again?
I know, I'm just going to change
it. I just finished talking. For me, it's quite tough because I've got a bit of my brain's a bit crazy. You know, it's full of stories, and then to sort of switch that off and go to do the other side of it. So I'm really lucky. I had to do everything myself for so long, and I did half-assed a job of many things. So I did half things half well to get me through. And so that was things like marketing and things like, you know, all of those little things that add up to a business, I did to sort of reasonably well. And then now that I have two people working for me, they do all of those things well. And that makes a massive difference for me. So I still have to do, you know, market myself on Facebook and, you know, do all of that. I still have to do a lot of that stuff. But now writing pretty much is my sole focus. And so that means that I've been able to increase my output significantly sort of over the last few months, as, you know, and now that I'm actually trying to be a bit more organized, is what I'm saying, with my writing. Before, I just used to get halfway through a book and then book and edit, and now I, you know, that sort of thing. Am I answering the question? I can't, yeah, you know what I'm like, yeah. Do you find
that it's a little, I don't want to say easier, but do you find it's a calmer process having that more defined what you're doing than trying to do everything?
I don't know that I could ever say my brain is calm. I'm going to be honest with you. You know, I don't know. I think I know my word count each day. I know what I have to hit each day. I think that is hugely important, that word count for me. If that word count doesn't hit before I go to bed at night, it's very disturbing.
Okay. So that's kind of your safety net. So, you know, once you're hitting that word count, things are going to get done.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you work like that, Shira?
I was going to say I'm actually a bit kinder to myself because I do have a word count, but mine's weekly. Yes. So that gives me time to rob from Peter to pay Paul, you know. Mm. So,
what's your weekly word count, Shira? Just curious.
So when I'm in the throes of a book, it would be about 5,000, but that could go up to 7. And so it's kind of like a little game I play. So the more I get this week, the less I have to do next week, or the quicker the book gets written. So
nice. I like
I'm always trying to write the book quicker than I say. Like when I put a pre-order up, I'm always trying to bring it out like a week or two earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I have to give myself that room because I can't handle that pressure. So, it's a little buffer I have.
That's I think why I like the writing pressure that works for me better. Than
it does. It does work
and
for
that's
you.
Again,
and, yeah.
But difference.
I get too anxious if I hate letting people down. So it's just like I can't bear the thought of actually putting a book off. You know, like cancelling a pre-order or shifting them or something. So I think I've done it once in all these years.
Yeah.
But what was I going to say?
So you do 5,000 a week, so you don't break down and down each day. You just do that. You want that total by the end of the week. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, I mean, my aim is to get between 2 and 3 a day, but sometimes that's achievable and sometimes it's just not. You know, I'd lucky to get a 1,000 down.
Yeah.
But I do tend to go over it. I can't leave stuff if I know it's rubbish. I can't. Which it often is. So
you're editing, you mean, as you go kind of thing?
Yeah, not heavy editing.
Yes.
But I might suddenly think of something. Because I'm writing crazy mysteries, I'm constantly thinking ahead of how that's going to pan out, and actually that's not going to work, and blah blah blah. So that, yeah, it is a little bit different to how when I write my romances, which I haven't done for a while. They tend to write way more linear, you know. The cozy mystery needs to be linear, but it just doesn't work all the time. But with the marketing and that, if I just can't get the words down, then I slip into that mode. And I've also found, as the years have gone by, well, just recently to be honest, is that I'm doing less. And if I miss, because, you know, I've just sent a book away for its second edit, so it's really close now, I couldn't do much for the last week. I really couldn't do a lot. So I did a couple of posts, but I've actually given myself permission not to worry about that. For a few days at a time. If it, you know, the world's not going to fall apart if I don't post for a week. But, you know, then the next post will be a reminder or to say that the book is coming or whatever. But you're just giving yourself permission to not have to be on all the time.
You know? I think that's vital. Don't beat yourself up if you don't, you know, post or you don't. It just, it's life, you know.
What about you, Trudy? How do you balance the business versus the creativity?
I feel like it's two different parts of my brain. So when I'm writing, I get in the flow and I'm writing and I can focus on that. And then it's kind of like I'm swimming back up out of a deep pool of water and I have to burst to the surface and go, oh my God, I don't remember what the heck is happening up here above the surface. And so I have to really kind of concentrate on the switch between the two, like get back into the marketing. The marketing is a different, I enjoyed the marketing for the most part, but it's a different mindset. It's a different way of thinking for me. And it's a different mode. Like it's almost faster or something. Like it's just, so when I'm doing marketing stuff, even just if I'm designing tiles for Instagram or something, like it's a different kind of thing than being deep down into a story. So, and I can't be worrying or thinking about my marketing if I'm writing the story because it's just going to block me. So I have to be really kind of conscious of like separating the two, like, and I often, so I write better in the morning, so I try to make the mornings, except for Thursdays, which is when we do the podcast, but the mornings are for the most part writing time, and then I'll do marketing after lunch or in the evenings or whenever. So it, for me, it's just about separating those time blocks and kind of also knowing that I have to be writing. Like sometimes I'll go, oh, I've got all this marketing, I've got it, oh, I haven't posted on Facebook for a while, like she was saying, or something like that, and I'll go, oh, maybe just this morning I'll do a bit of that kind of stuff, and then I go, actually no, I need to be doing the writing. The writing is what we do as authors, and there's no point in doing all the other stuff if you're not doing the writing. So I think for me that is always a big part of it, and for a while there I was out of whack. I was unbalanced in terms of that, and I was trying to do all this marketing and kind of ignoring the writing to a certain extent. And so now I just make sure that that's a big part of what I do.
That makes total sense. It's interesting when you're saying, Cheryl, about interruptions and family and being at home. It will be very interesting to see going forward now that basically the world's had an experience for a lot of people working from home, whether that, just in general terms, not your family specifically, that people approach the idea of working from home as not just, you know, sitting on the couch watching 100%. Daytime TV. I think hopefully that will bring a little bit more respect to those of us that do work from home because it's a legit, you know, productive thing. I don't know. Maybe that's a vain hope. So I just want to, because we're coming up to our time, so I just wanted to kind of round out with one more question. I'm going to start with Cheryl this time. And it's about something that we come across, and we've talked about ourselves, our own expectations and if you like, and maybe some myths that we thought or that we had about the idea of writing full-time versus the actual reality of writing full-time. And I just wonder if you want to start, Cheryl, if you had come up with any of those that you yourself experience or that you'd like to, myth bust?
Well, it's no fairy tale, that's for sure. It's kind of like your dream, your combination of your dream to be working full time. And it's not, the reality is not what you expected. But in some ways it's a lot better. You know, like being your own boss is cool. It's really, really good. But you can be hard on yourself as well. And then you can, you know, if you don't take it seriously, then you can be far too lenient. But somewhere in the middle there is what gets you through. It's what gets the books written. And if you have, once you find out how many books you can write a year, how, you know, like how long it takes you and what it's going to cost you to put a book up, then I think it does, all that process becomes a bit more ingrained and a bit more natural. And then I think knowing where you are and knowing where you're going is huge. And that makes you more content, I think. It makes you happier with your business and happier, like we've said before, that you are able to do something that you're passionate about and it's your job.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Mm. What about you, Trudy?
Myth busts. So we talked about it before. Mm. Oh, what?
No, or expectations that you had. Yeah.
We talked about it before and about this expectation that, like, oh, I've only been writing for 2 hours at night after work and I'm going to go full time and I'm going to be able to write 8 hours a day. And so I'm going to quadruple my output and I'm going to write 100 books this year and it's all going to be a whole new game. And I think that does not happen. You can't write. I mean, some people do, but I think that way lies burnout, actually, is what I, you can maybe do it for a short term, but I wouldn't plan on writing long hours every day for the next 3 years. For a start, like, why would you quit your job and do that and kind of put yourself through that? Like, I feel like that's not really much of a life if you're at your desk typing out 10 hours a day, these words day after day after day. I feel like you kind of want to be a bit more well-rounded than that and actually go out and as just your physical body needs exercise and your brain needs other stimulation and your brain needs to communicate with other people. So just from that, even just from those physical and mental health and those kinds of needs, you shouldn't be, I believe. I don't want to offend anyone out there who does that, but I just don't think it's a great way to be living your life. And I don't think that's what you should be aiming for when you go full time as an author. You should be trying to do it because you want to have a more well-balanced life, like the ability to stay at home, be there for your kids when they come home from school or when they ring you and ask you to look after your grandkids or whatever. Having the flexibility to do that is an awesome part of what we do. And we are in control of our lives and what we do and when we do it. So we can make those choices to, you know, go do something on one day and work and not work at all and then work more hours the next day or whatever. Like those are awesome choices that we get to make as a full-time author. And I love that. I love the flexibility and the fact that I'm in control of my time. But I just think that you can also be too hard on yourself and to push yourself too much and think that you have to do all the things. And I think that's one thing that I've learned from when I first started to now is that I was trying to do all the things as well, like do everything. Like we get podcast guests on almost every week who are doing new and exciting things. And so every time we had someone on, I was like, right, I'm going to do this new thing. And what I've learned and what I've realized is that all those different people were actually doing that one thing really well, plus their writing. They weren't doing all the things. They were just doing that one thing really well. And that is often the best way. So simple is better. You know, don't do too many things. Don't try all the things. Figure out what works for you. And we're all different. And so I hope that's one thing that you get from the podcast, people listening, is that the way that I do things is different from how Wendy does it, from how Cheryl does it, how Shah does it. Like, we don't do things the same way, but it doesn't mean that any one of us is more right than the others. It's just how we do things and what works for us as individuals. And you need to find what works for you. And that's not going to necessarily be the same thing. There are many different paths up the mountain, as we like to say.
Many different paths.
Yeah. Oh, and also we talked about, which we haven't mentioned.
Oh, wait, there's more.
Resourcefulness and courage. Go, Wendy, talk about those.
Oh, hang on. We're going to do expectations because Wendy hasn't done any expectations versus myths first.
Yeah. So I just thought that we were on the last round. So anyway.
No, but she hasn't done it yet because she hasn't spoken up.
Can I have permission to speak?
Please? Yes, please. Yeah.
We're going to say go.
Wendy always comes in with a myth busting, man.
No, I just want to say it was a way bigger learning curve than I thought it was going to be. And purely and simply by that, I mean, I thought once I published this book and you know, the thing about this industry, I think that you really must get on board with pretty much straight away is that it evolves and it changes. Mm. And one thing that worked for you last month won't work for you next month. And if your income was high last month, it doesn't mean it's going to be this month, et cetera, et cetera. So I think for me, it was coming from a sort of 9 to 5 where I had X amount of dollars come into my bank account to now every month it can fluctuate massively. I think that is massive. That learning curve, that rolling with the punches ability, I think has to be a real tool, something you have in your toolkit. Mm. Just roll with it, you know, Amazon will pull the rug out from underneath you and then gently slide it back under your feet, you know, like, and same mm-hmm. as Facebook, same as, you know, new platforms arriving, and never thought I'd be on TikTok and I am. So I think being very open-minded, taking on what works for you, what you feel you can do with your writing, little steps, conquering one thing before another, remembering that when you conquer that one thing, next month it might not be there. So that rolling with the punches and learning curves.
You're stressing me out here, Wendy.
I just want to say how wonderful it is that one that all of these different things that are happening, you know. Mm. Like, I don't mean this in a bad way. I mean that it's important to understand it changes.
Yeah. You know? Absolutely.
And actually, when you think about what it used to be like for when people published, say, in 2011, they didn't have Vellum, they didn't have majority of people wouldn't have known about Facebook ads. They wouldn't have known there was no Amazon ad. You know,
I think of KU itself, the difference in KU. I didn't have KU when I first started.
I want to add something in there as well, just to dive in on this one here too, and myths and whatever. And I think it is a myth that the working full-time as an author is the ultimate for everybody, and it doesn't necessarily mean that too. No. And no. I think I've spoken to and know of some authors who have found the pressure of literally earning their money from creativity has actually really hampered their ability to be creative. Mm. And so for some people, actually having a steady income, you know, if it's a part-time or full-time or whatever, it allows them to enjoy the writing process again, and it takes the pressure off. So there is, you know, Trudy's already said there's no one way at the mountain either, but also I think there's no shame in actually not having full-time writing, not being a full-time writer or not having it as your ultimate goal. You know, I think there's also the social aspect as well. I mean, a lot of writers are introverts that do very well, you know, perhaps with less social contact from other people, but then there's others that, you know, sometimes we spend a little bit too much time alone, and that's not necessarily a good thing. Mm. So, you know, I just wanted to kind of give a shout out to those of us that aren't equipped to be a full-time writer. Having said that, as Trudy says, I am a full-time, I work for myself full-time, so it's kind of the same, but it's not, because I'm not relying always on my creativity, and I think that puts a lot of pressure on your creative muscle, if you like. So just to finish off, Trudy, you're talking about courage and
resourcefulness.
Go
Well, I just wanted to say, like, we were just there was a quote that Wendy had before we started about what it took, and I can't remember the whole quote. I'm sorry, but the two words that I wrote down in my notes were resourcefulness and courage. And so sometimes when you think about going full time or doing this, you think, oh, well, it's about, you know, being organized, having schedules and deadlines, and knowing your data and da da da. But actually, there's a quite a lot of courage involved in that. It's taking a big leap of faith in yourself and your ability to do this. And it takes I think you have to be fairly, I want to say something about your mindset here. Like, you know, your mindset has to be pretty good around it, not to freak out after a couple of months when things are not going exactly as you're expecting them to go, and you don't going to go throw your toys and go back to a job for, you know, like a, whatever you call, other things that people have that are not full-time writing. So I just want, like, it does take courage, but you stick with it and it will, you know, you will figure it out and you will learn and you will sell your books, basically. It will come. It does come. And resourcefulness. And I think the resourcefulness thing is not just, learning and knowing and doing all the things, but it's also kind of being able to look at it and analyze what you're doing and figure out what's working and what's not working and stop doing the things that are not working, continue doing the things that are, like, kind of being able to be honest with yourself and kind of not continue down a path when it's clearly not working and just figure out ways to move. And it's like Wendy says, things change in publishing as well. So what was once working for you a certain way may not continue to work, and you just have to be a little bit agile, a little bit flexible in terms of that. And that resourcefulness comes in there, I think, where you just have to kind of, and some people love that, right? Like the ability to kind of keep moving, keep looking, keep figuring things out. And that's going to be for some people, and maybe it's not for others. And that's,
it's really not for me, to be honest. I would like everything just to stay as it is.
Yeah, for everybody, right. I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, no, it's not what I love.
Yeah.
But it's what it is. So you have to roll with it, right?
Yeah. But I think you've worked out this attitude of, like, just this month wasn't as good as last month. That's okay, because next month might be even better. You know, you that kind of ability to roll with it.
No, that's what you see.
Yeah.
I think it's a very natural, yeah. I mean, it's easy for me to say, and this is what I've said to authors that I've worked with before, when you're looking at, like, spend or income, it's always good to look over a broader range. So over a 12-month period, or ideally a 24-month period, it's really easy to get focused on that month. Now that's like X percent or down X percent, and it's very easy for the panic to set in. But this is easy for me to say, because I'm not the one paying my bills through that, you know. So I think it's a balancing act, isn't it, about that. And, you know, it's a definite, I can't use the term that I want to use, but it's a mind bleep a lot of the time, this business. So, you know, I think it takes tremendous courage to, look, it takes an enormous amount of courage. We've spoken about it before, to put a book up in the first place. We haven't covered, actually, on this, we've talked about the mindset of within ourselves and dealing with a business, but then you've got a whole nother episode, which we will do, on actually dealing with the world that receives your books. So stay tuned. All right.
I did have another thing to say, was that, you know, we often talk about knowing your why, but I think you also have to know yourself, you know, your abilities and your limitations. And I think courage comes into it as well, to give yourself permission, as Shah has done, not to be a full-time author. And you know, that's just the other side of it. It's not right or wrong to look up one day and say, this is just not working for me. You know, that does take a lot of courage as well, as it does to persevere.
Absolutely.
You know, you want it so badly that you just need to get past whatever is stopping you and reach out some more, you know, ask for help. But
I can say, with hand on heart, every single person listening to this is a courageous person, and we believe in you, and do what's right for you. So with that being said, if you would like to join us on Patreon, we would welcome you into our Spa Girls community, and we are there, trying not to talk too much, but we are there, and we are happy to answer questions and just share, you know, behind the scenes kind of thing in our Facebook group for our $5 tier onwards patrons. And we love you all, so come and join us.
Awesome. So is that where they find us then?
Well, surprisingly, they can find us at spargirlspodcast.com, and we're on Patreon at /spargirlspodcast.
Brilliant. Awesome.
Thank you all for listening to another episode of the Spa Girls podcast. We'll be back again next week. But for now, farewell.
Bye.
Bye.